recording you're about to listen to consists of several sections. The first is today's Daf Yomi from the 12th cycle of the International Daf Yomi, followed by a brief review that allows you to listen to the entire Daf in between 5 to 10 minutes. That is followed by the same exact Daf from the previous cycle 7.5 years ago, in which there were different people attending and there's a different ambience. Choose the one you enjoy the most, or perhaps listen to one and then listen to the other for review. Enjoy. Today's Daf in Masechet Kritut, brought to you in Chomot Yerushalayim, is Daf Yud Gimel. And we are holding a little bit down at the Omar Rav Noi on the fifth line. So we've been discussing the amount of time that one needs to wait, or that one can wait, and still have a tziruf of a shir of a chatzi zayit or chatzi revi'id. Today, Omar Rav Noi, Omar Shmuel, you should know that it's true that by chalavim or by nevela, in other words, if we're talking about a normal iser of achila in terms of iser and malchus, so over there, it's Archie Hashem b'tchilvat zov b'chtei achilas pras. Yes, indeed, the shir is, as you say, b'chtei achilas pras. But when it comes to eating, the ochlin tamein, where over there, the din is that we're dealing with a completely different shir of ochlin tamein, because mashkin tamein, and we should leave out this next piece, ochlin tamein and mashkin tamein, which are entirely a new shir derabbanan, to be metami to madgviya, which makes you osir to eat truma. So then, afilu kol hayom kulo bichdei achilas pras, which of course makes absolutely no sense. You can even do this over the course of the entire day, as long as it's bichdei achilas pras, which is a nonsensical statement. My karma, what? Amr papa chikama. Afilu kol hayom kulo. The shiur of the achila of chatzi pras for the psul gviya to eat truma, or the shir of shtiat gviya to psul gviya for achilas truma, is a shir that is mitzarif across the entire day, as long as each kezayit of that chatzi pras was eaten b'chtei achilat pras. That's what he means. So therefore, what he's saying is that each kezayit was eaten b'chtei achilas pras. That's the way that he understands the Mishnah. So in other words, so the idea she'ochal kezayit v'kezayit b'chtei achilas pras meis v'kolok l'mitztarf l'psug via b'chatzi pras. And here ma'alav da'aklil chatzi pras b'chtei achilas pras. Here it says that the ochlin are mitztarfim in a chatzi pras of achil, which is mashmur. That's the shir of the achil of avatachat. And the Mishnah continued to say b'chtei achilas pras. No. It means that you ate each kezayit with the achilas pras. It doesn't mean that the entire chatzi pras had to be eaten with the shiur of the achilas pras. How can you say that? Meitve, kolo ochle bitstar, filipsula, lipsula tagvia, bichatzi pras, bichte achilat pras. Okay? It says it very clearly. Now, if you want to keep fetching, read the next line. Ketzad. Achal, v'chazar v'achal. Now dig this. I'd love to see you wiggle out of this one. If the amount of time between the first moment that you open your mouth and the last time that you close your mouth, now that includes all the kezaisim, my friend, not just one kezai. Kidei achilat pras mitstarfim. Yoter mikan ein mitstarfim. There is no tziruf if you spend longer than a shir of kidei achilat pras for the entire chatzi pras, the first achilat to the last achilat. Alohi tiro, the ochel, sounds very strange, but we'll explain in a minute. The ochel of a chatzi shir, of a pachot b'kashir, was not allowed to go to the mikveh. Sounds weird. Leireid v'litvol. And if he was yoreid and tovel, and now he eats the other chatzi shir, and he's mashlim this year, then it would be mitzarif. They were matir, a woman who is pregnant, to eat less than a shir, mipnei ha-sakana. This is referred to Yom Kippur. So it's mutter, if she's in a state of sakana, to eat less than a shir at a time. Kol ha-mashkim mitztarfim lipsolat ha-gviya b'revi'it, all mashkim that are tameim can be mitztaref, as long, of course, as they're one of the mashkin that are makabel tumah. Bichtei achilat pras. Ketzat, shata, v'chazar. We're going to do it to you again, Rav Nayar Mashmur. Shata, v'chazar, v'shata. Im yesh mitchilat shtiyah rishona, v'yatsov shtiyah achrona. Kedei achilat pras, That's clear as a bell. From the beginning of the drinking until the very end of the drinking. They were matir a woman who had touched something that was tamei meit, either a person that had touched a maid or a kli that had touched a maid, to go and to nurse her child, and that child, if he's a kohen, is considered to be tahor and is allowed to have truma baby cereal. Anyway, God, Tony Miata, but as far as what I want to focus on to Rav Nayon Mar Shmuel, is that this bright that makes it very clear, we sure as heck are not talking about each kezayit. We're talking about im yesh mitchila achila rishona, v'atzof achila achrona b'chdei achilat pras, it's mitztarif. And I think that this is a pretty conclusive teyufta de Rav Noy, teyufta. That is absolutely blows the shita out of the water. The Mishnah is referring to shir b'chdei achilat pras, just like it was in all the rest of the Mishnah, as mitchila atzof, not on each kizayit. I didn't get that weird thing that you say, that a guy's not allowed to go to the mikvah? Omamar, lo itir lo lochel pachot mikishir, leireid v'litvol, and then you say, yorad v'taval, so that it would be mitzvah. Well, what the heck is going on here? Mike Omar, omru v'yoneh, no, it means, this is all one statement. It means like this, okay, come on. A guy eats less than a shir of oichlin tmeim, okay? Now he wants to go to the mikveh so that there won't be any chashash that he'll be tamei from it. They didn't allow him to go to the mikveh. Why didn't they allow him? Because look, if he goes down, that's the next piece of the Mishnah, it should say. Because if he would, that's the point, not two separate issues. She'im yarad v'tavav alaf, he would have gone to the mikveh and he'd come back up. And now he eats a little bit more. It would be mitzvah, because the tefillah doesn't help on a pachas mikashir. And he's going to think, atila meimak, ahani li tefillah kamaita. He's going to assume that, well, he could start thinking now, start measuring now what the shir is, right? V'ener yodea she'im tefillah ala bachrona. He doesn't realize that tefillah doesn't help when you're tar. Only else if you became tamei. Now, the next thing you said was, they allowed a pregnant woman to eat less than a shir because of a sakana. That makes no sense to me. What, because of a sakana? I mean, if her life is in danger, there's no iser at all. So, afilutu v'nami techo, we'll let her just eat. Why are we messing around with these shirim? Amar of Papa Chitani. Itiru lo l'ubra pachot mikishiyur afilutuva. Means like this. They allowed her to eat many, many times, even all day long, less than a shir b'chdechidas prats, in other words, mipnei asakana. Because the idea over there is that there's an inyan not to treat Yom Kippur like any other day, as Rabbi Ner Gershon says. So mimela, in order to try to make this difference, so she should attempt to eat pachot pachot b'kishir, but not saying all in all she can eat pachot b'kishir mipnei asakana, that obviously wouldn't make sense. The next thing that we said is hitiru lemaga tamei meit. This is a strange situation. A woman touches something which had touched a maid. So now she was mekabelat tuma on herself. She's a rishon, right? The thing that had touched the maid, or the person that touched the maid, was an av. So when she touches her child, she's not metamei the child. A rishon is not metamei other. But the milk that she nurses the child with is going to be mashkim tameim. Mashkim tameim should be metame that tinaik, and he should not be allowed to eat his truma baby cereal.
Even if it's going to his mouth without touching his body, that's considered touching his body.
Touching. What's touching? Who's talking about touching? Where is there a din of touching here? There's no din of touching throughout this entire sugya. It's only about eating. There is no din of touching mashkim tameim. They're not metame you. So, ochel, we've been talking about how much you eat bevatachat, and you start talking to me about touching. Okay, so the only gezeira was someone who eats mashkim tmeya. That's tumas gviya. There's no tumas gviya on maga. Anyway, so asks the Gemara, am I tahar? I understand. Why is the child tahar? I mean, in the moment that he drinks, given the yonak chalav, he was yonak chalav tamei. So then he became tamei with this rabbanan tumah, tumat gviya, and we should not be allowed to give him
Truma baby cereal. Eat me chalav. Now, maybe you will taina that this chalav itself is not tamin. Why? Because it didn't have hechsher. Ah, your taina, but milk is a mashke. And a mashke, by definition, doesn't require hechsher. Ah, but there's a halacha of mashke, which is nichnas immediately to be a food. So if it falls into a food, or if it goes directly into a baby's mouth as the baby's food, it's not a mashke. It's an eichel. And as an eichel, maybe that's the point. It wasn't a makabel tumah, because it was ever mokshel a makabel tumah. So how did it become tameh from this woman? No, that's not true. It was nitkasher b'tipam l'uchlechet api adat. There's always a little bit of milk on the nipple that the child is not drinking, which is not food, it's mashke. That mashke is vaday tameh, and that mashke vaday has been of mashke, and therefore it will be makshir, the mashke which became erklid, which is the rest of the milk that's coming out of the nipple, and it's going to be metameh, and therefore the child is drinking mashkim tmeim. So why do you say he's allowed to eat his baby cereal? Amr of Nachman, Amr Rabba Baravua. Look, this is a really aggressive baby. He just goes for it and he doesn't stop. See, he was yonak b'tkifa achat and loy niach tipam lo klechet al piyadad. He's not going to let that one drop of milk get away. And therefore, there never was a chance to be metameh the milk. Amr Rabba, man, oh man. You know, there's two very clear-cut reasons why that's nonsense, okay? State your vote. First of all, anybody who's watched an infant drink knows that it is not the equivalent of sucking up a straw. The entire mouth of the baby is filled with milk, and that milk is in touch with the nipple at all times. So, kachazina de pume de yenuka de molei cholav. You look at an infant's mouth, and it's absolutely oozing milk. It is not drinking from a straw. And then the other issue is, forget about this question of requiring hechsher. You do not require hechsher on milk, because makom chalav is a ma'ayan. There are parts of the body which are considered to be, things that are excreted from the body, that are considered to be part of the body. And that's called ma'ayanot. So when it comes to a zav, let's say, there would be no question, a woman who's a zava, the milk that comes from a woman who's a zava would be considered to be part of her body. And therefore, it has nothing to do with being mashkin tameim or ochlin tameim. The point is, if she's tameya, even though obviously she's not a zava, that's not the point. But by inference, we can understand, this is how Rashi seems to understand, Tosfos is very bothered by this, because he says, Mayanot, specifically, Yerdin, into Mayotzim, itol gufo, not magad, what does this have to do with Mayan? But the point seems to be, a little bit of Rashi, that by inference, the din of Mayanot implies that those elements that are considered to be part of the body are like touching the Zov directly. So therefore, if a woman's milk will come out of her body, and she had touched tuma, that milk is tummy because it's part of her. Not because it's mashkin, it's bakabal tuma from somewhere else, or Oakland is bakabal tuma from somewhere else. And I'll prove it to you, says Rava. A woman's milk is metame. Whether you want that milk or you don't want that milk. But a milk of a behema is only metame l'ratzon. Now, what is the difference? Because, undoubtedly, since it says in the Torah, ki yutan mayim alzera, and that ki yutan is written, ki yitain mayim alzera. So we say that it has to be ki yutan dum yada ki yitain. Just like the word ki yitain, by definition, means there is intent to put, ki yutan, where there was no intent, at least means that there is acquiescence and desire for it. Maybe it happened passively, it rained. But you wanted the things to get wet. So over here, you wanted this milk. That's the point. And the not wanting, if it's an animal's milk, means it's not included in the dinim of Esherichi. But by a woman, even if it isn't wanted, it's considered to be metame. Now, why is that? If it's just a plain old mashkin, it has to be ki yutan dumyada ki yitain. Therefore, it must be that it's considered to be a mayan. So mayalav shelo l'ratzon means the lo nechale, and nonetheless it says it's betame, and therefore that could only be because it's mayanot. Therefore, says Rava, forget about this ridiculous pshat that it's talking about a kid who is aggressive. It wouldn't make any difference in the world. First of all, there's no such thing as a child that doesn't have milk throughout its mouth, and there's no such thing as requiring hetsh anyway. So this whole discussion is moot. You want to know what the real pshat is, says Rava, I'll tell you. Elam Rava, you know why the Ben is star? Because, look, the whole din of Mashkim Tmeim, which is Tumat Gviya, is a Derabbanan. Minoraita, there's no such concept. Mashkin can't be Matami and Adam. I don't care how much of it he drinks. And therefore, we say like this. Do you really know how much milk that child drank? No. So it's a Suffolk if it's Yonek Kishiyur. Suffolk lo yanak. And even if you'll say, I mean, this baby's been nursing for 3 hours straight. It doesn't matter. Because even if you say definitely he had a shear, do you know that it was Bashir Kedakhilat Pras? No. You don't know how long, basically, it took this child to get a Revius. So, Safik Yonak Bakhilat Pras, Safik Yonko Bayotermik Deakhilat Pras. Therefore, the whole thing is unclear. And Mamela, we're not Gezer, in this case, Tumat Via, without having any clear cut understanding of its actually being a Shir. Now, getting back to what Rav is answering. A different teretz, because he's convinced that chalav is a mayan. I got news for you. Chalav is not a mayan. The Rav makom chalav mayanu. And you don't need extra of chalav. What are you going to do about a beferish mishnah that makes it obvious that chalav is not a mayan? Where it says, v'atznan, ha'isha. Here we're talking about a case where a woman, there's a mishnah in the Sechet Kelim, a woman is putting some bread into the tanur. Remember, the tanur was open on top. She leans over this tanur, and some milk drops from her nipple into the avir tanur. So it says over here, the tanur is tamei. Now, we asked over there, how did this milk carry any tuma? B'mai itkasher, and said Reb Yochanan, well, there's always a little bit of milk on her nipple. So the milk that was going to fall into the tanur is not considered to be a mashka because it's mashka b'olayichu. But the milk on her nipple is definitely going to be a mashka, and it will be mashka. Now, you'll say, okay, so what? Rava can't argue with Rabbi Yochanan. So Rava argues on Rabbi Yochanan, no? And he holds that it doesn't need hafshir. No! Because you're going to try to tell me, v'chitem Rava lo serva like Rabbi Yochanan, what are you going to do with the v'firish of Braita? The Braita makes it very clear about Tanya. Basically, we've got nine separate dinim, separate mashkim, which have different dinim, in a zav. So tisha mashkim is zav. There are three that are bichlal, not considered to be makabel tuma at all. Sweat is not makabel tuma. Just body wetness, lecha serucha, or rei, or let's see, he's got diarrhea, that's not called mashkin. That's all Torah miklum. Tears, dimat eno, blood from a wound, dam agafato, and chalav isha, human milk is matami as tumas mashkin. Berevius. Now, come on, man. If it's Tumas Mashkin, Berevius, it's obviously not a Mayan, because Roko, which is a Mayan, Zovo, which is a Mayan, Memerag Love, so those things, so in other words, his saliva, the actual prostate fluid, his urine, those are things that are Matami Tuma Chamura Bechoshu. Now, if you're right, and you believe that the Chalav is considered to be a Mayan, then why the heck do we say that the Shir is a Revit? The Chalav should be Metame, first of all, not Tumas Mashkin, which is a Tumah Kala. Should be Metame Tumah Chamura. And it should have a din of Zivas. It should have a din of 7 days Tumah. And where do you get the Shir of a Revit? It would be Bechoshu, like Zovo Veroko. Ela Shmamina Makom Chalav Ishalav Mayan. Obviously, Rav is wrong. We don't consider it to be Chalav Mayan. Okay, so then how do you explain? I mean, Rav had a raya from the fact that there's a difference between wanting the milk or not wanting the milk. And that has got to be the difference between the behemoth and the human, is that by the human, it doesn't matter if you want the milk or not. So that can't mean that it's a mashka, because if it's a mashka, it's only going to be metame if it's wanted. So I'm very confused. How do you explain Rava's raya? So Yochi Kasha Matnita, and Rava said over there, I mean, he proved that it's metame. Bein l'ratzon, bein shelo l'ratzon. It's a very good point. No. It's not a good point. You misunderstood what it was saying. When you said shelo l'ratzon, what do you think that is? It means that we specifically knew. The child says, I don't want a nurse. That's what it's talking about. No. Shelo l'ratzon means even though the child didn't say, I want to nurse. And therefore, because we say, stam, the das of a tinaik, is that he's always ready to have a little bit of a sniggle. So he's korek l'gabe chalav. So it's considered to be l'ratzon. But if this child says, beferish, get that milk out of here, and lo nechalei, so then of course it would be tor. There's no inherent difference between an isha and other mammals. It's all considered to be mashkin. The only difference is that kids normally like the nurse. That's the only difference.
It has to be good for the receiver of the liquid, which could be more than it's not enough.
Yeah, if she's happy, what, to waste milk? Why would she be happy?
She's lactating.
Right? So she wants milk dripping all over the place.
Save it for later.
Nah, come on. No? If she's collecting it, then anything on me. If she's not collecting it, then not. Ochal ochlin to me. So then we take a look at this very, very strange, in which the Mishnah, now it certainly sounds like, even though it doesn't make any sense, take a look back at the Mishnah. So Shatarit Yit Yayin, Vinichnas L'Migdash. He drinks wine, goes into the Beit HaMikdash, and Shahakadei Achilat Pras. Mashpi needs to be Shoheh in the Beit HaMikdash. That's really weird, because, I mean, the din of Shehiyah in the Beit HaMikdash is a din in somebody who was Mitameh in the Beit HaMikdash, and he stays there, Ashir Bechdesh Tachavoya. But what does that have to do with the Nichnas Beit HaMikdash with Shichrut? I don't get it. Why does it say V'Shahah? That's what we thought, that V'Shahah meant he has to be Shoheh in the Beit HaMikdash. Therefore, ask the Gemara, how do you explain that? Lamali Shehiyah? Diktani V'Shahah, there's no din of Shehiyah in the Beit HaMikdash when you're drunk? Amar Rav Yehuda, no. It's an unfortunate order in the Mishnah. And Richie could tell us how unfortunate it is, because it's clearly put him straight into a coma. And it's
absolute.
Out of order.
All right, guys, you want to get me that Rabbi Zilberman X-rated picture, please? That's it.
Where's the most sleeping envelope?
In my jacket pocket. Sorry. Most Chitim, everybody. Most Chitim is still available. You have a chance to participate in this grand mitzvah. And that's true for ships at sea as well. If you want to call in your donation, I shall lay it out and you can pay afterwards. This is Rabbi Shlomo Kaplan's special tzedakah fund with guaranteed bona fide aniyim for the Seder. And you can participate in giving them some matzah.
Is that a money back guarantee?
That's a good question, but it's a good housekeeping. Yeah. That much.
Okay.
So, anyway, here's your chance. I don't know how much more of a chance you're going to have. You know, it's one time at this life, only one time. One time at this Pesach, only one time. Get your mitzvahs now. Anyway,
so shopping.
Ask the Gemara now that Richie has been completely awoken. Amar of Yehuda Hakikatan. All it means is Ochal Ochlit to me. Yishata Mashkin to meim. Or Shatar Viit Yayin. Now, Sha'abak Latarim Shtiatan, before he went into the Beit HaMikdash, obviously, it, as long as the Shehiyah was not more than the Akhilat's Pras, and then he's Nichnas L'Mikdash, it doesn't mean he requires Shehiyah in the Beit HaMikdash. So that. That was just a misunderstanding.
Does she apply to what?
She has nothing in our mission.
He drunk any?
No, she. How long it took him to finish the reviews?
That had to be within
Kedei Achilas Pras. Now, Rabbi Elazar Omer. No. Even the slightest hefsek in your drinking, it's got to be a one shot boom, and then it has a din of yain v'shechar al tesh. Otherwise, not. So, where does he get this from? Tana Rabbanan says in the Pasuk, Yain v'shechar al teisht atahu v'anecha itach b'vo'achem elo moed v'lo tamutu. Now, as our dear Bobby asked the Mishnah, it is true that Tosfos learns that this means only if he did avodah. However, the simple meaning of the pasuk is b'vo'achem v'lo tamutu. And indeed, the Rambam paskens, you do not need to do avodah. If you were nichnas lemikdash at a time that is royal avodah, in a place that is a place of avodah. So in other words, once you were nichnas, even if you didn't do the avodah, if you were tamei from the outside, then you would be actually chayav. When we say chayav, remember, there are two different dinim of chayav. There's the chayav if you were over on a lav, and there's velo tamut. The chiyav of mitabi de shamayim. Now those do not always apply in the same way. But there are those who hold an enachinami. To be chayav on the mitah would have to be avodah, or at least royal avodah. But to be over on the lav, it could be even a Yisrael who was nichnas into his area, the tumah. Okay.
To the Azor.
Yeah. Again, it's a machlokes rishonim, even Israel. Shesuyayin. Sorry, I said tumah, I'm sorry. Shesuyayin. Okay, so but in any event, this is not our sugya here. What is our sugya here is how long did it take you to drink up? So Rebbe Elazar says that it's got to be all in one shot. Now we're going to see that there are three ways of understanding the pasuk, because the pasuk is yain v'shechar. Now, what is the difference exactly between yain v'shechar? Yochal afilu kol shehu. You might think that even if you drank a little bit of wine, you'd be chayav. Or even if it's grape juice, a filo migito, you might think that you're chayav tamlomi v'shechar. That's why it says v'shechar. To tell me that it's only usher if it's going to be mishacher. And what is that? It has to be kedei l'shacher, it has to be revias yayin. And it has to ferment it for at least 40 days. But if it's not a revias, and or it's not 40 days old, it doesn't have sufficient alcohol content, then it's not going to be a usher. So then just say shechar. No. That's to tell me that there's an iser lav. There's just no altam velotamutu. But there's an iser lav that your muzra lav, even if you had less than a revius of wine, or even if it took you longer than a shear of kidei achilas pras. And even if it's just grape juice, you're not allowed to come in. Now we're going to see that we learn this out from Nazir. Well, over there, it's clearly condemning grapes. Rabbi Yudah says, no, that's not how to understand it. It says yayin. Here's how to read it. Eli ela yayin. You might think this means only yayin, and we learn it out of the Nazir. Talmud lomar v'shechar. Anything. How about shar mishakri? How about some vodka? How do you know that that also is going to ask you? Talmud lomar v'shechar. Anything that is mishakher. In kein matam loma yayin. So why then does it say wine? To teach you on wine, there's a chiyav mita, and on other things that make you shikor, there's shar mashkin, that's a lav, but not the lo tamutu. So in other words, we read the pasuk with a psi, so that the yain is al teisht, and then bevo hachem lo tamutu is the v'shechar, is the lo tamutu. That's the second way. Anything that's mishachar, according to Rabbi Yudah. According to Rabbi Yehuda, anything mishacher, beer, vodka, milk, anything. Whiskey.
So a drug test, you have to walk the line or something?
Walk the Amma.
Rabbi Elazar Omer, you have to walk on the Amma of the Kohen. And if you fall into the fire, then we know that you're drunk. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Yain al teisht. So this means we drink. We understand it to mean as sheikhar. In other words, don't drink wine the way you would as if you're having a shot of whiskey. Al tashteo kiderek shikruto, which is bottoms up. You down the whole thing in one shot. But if you drank your wine socially, a little bit of social drinking with a hefsek in between, then you'd be potter. Or, so imiv sikbo, or you put a little water into it, so that's not derech shichruto. Then you would be potter. Okay, we've got three shitot. So, b'may plige, the Tanakama holds that we have exerishava. Sheikha, Sheikhar, mi Nazir, just like by Nazir does not include beer or vodka, it's only Yayin. So too by Knesset Lamikdash. Rabbi Yehuda, who learns the word Sheikhar includes any Mishaker, he does not have the Kabbalah of this Gzeirah Shava, and he's loyal at Sheikha, Sheikhar, mi Nazir. Rabbi Elazar Savar, my Sheikhar, mide dehu Mishaker, means in a modality in which it's Mishaker. Okay, now, there's a braita, which is curious. Come on, Azadatanya. Achalad ve'laki elite. If somebody eats that fermented vela, which is a nice, delicious, juicy date that the elephants love going after to get drunk at elephant parties, then you eat one of these things. Or you drink, it's undoubtedly in Barnea's neighborhood. Vishata dvach.
It's a descriptive?
Yes, Ki'ila, no, the Vela is not a descriptive. Ki'ila. Barnea was giving us a description of the elephants. Mm. Not really. He was giving us a description of Ki'ila. And he's giving us the details are?
Ki'ila is in the area of the Hebron Hills. It's one of the places. It's near Zif, it's near Ma'on, it's where David the Melech ran away and hid out. Are these people going to give me in? Or that?
And we do have reports of elephant orgies in that area.
Some people call that area Tuscanini. The question is why.
Very good. He's really good on the spot, let me tell you. Elephants do get drunk, but not from the Vela Kili.
No, on amarula fruit. What do you call it? Fermented amarula.
They drink. They sit at the bar and they drink all night.
All right. Who carries them home?
Gentlemen.
What is that? Who carries them home? Oh, yes.
An elephant walks into a bar.
Elephant jokes.
Yeah,
do you think the other duffy always have as much?
No, I doubt it.
No.
Is this that 102 elephant?
All right. Continues the Gemara. So we now have three different approaches, and we have a braita that says that if you eat one of these fermented velot, or you drink honey or milk, which is mitashtesh, if you want to watch this happen, let us give Richie a cup of warm milk and watch what happens to him. And if you'd walk into the Beit HaMikdash in this situation, then you would be also over. And Nichnas HaMikdash, and here it says Vishimesh in our Girsa, but the Nichnas HaMikdash that we don't all have Vishimesh, you'd be Chayav. According to Tostos, you're only Chayav Vishimesh, as I said. Look at it. Whose sheet is this? Obviously, Rav Yehuda. Because Rav Yehuda is the only one who says you can include elephant drink in Sheikhar. Omer Rav Yehuda bar Akutoi, halachic Rav Elazar, and you should know, Rav used to call Rav Elazar, lakrem de lakrem of the Chachamim, to vina de Chachimim. Now, Rav Acha from Hutzal had a bad fight with his wife. And he answered any hanah from his wife, which was which was a tough situation. So Avinidra Allah Devito. So he comes to Ravashi to be matir, and Ravashi said, "I'm sorry, you're gonna have to come back tomorrow." Zila in Natala Makar, because Rav would not allow even an Amora to be standing there to say over his words from one yontif meal until the next day, because he felt that having had wine in his meal, it was usher for him to give a psak halacha. And this comes, as we're going to see, from the continuation of the pasuk to Bnei Aaron, where it says, la'avdil ula orot. So you can't be meira halacha, and I've had a little bit too much wine, and therefore you'll have to come back tomorrow. So this was not very convenient for Rav Acha for Hutzal. So Rav Acha told him, well, that if you have a little bit of water in your wine, then it's not usher. And I happen to know that you, Rebbe, always put water in your wine. Umar rudika rami be'maya. So how come you're not willing to give me a psak? No. That doesn't apply over here. Rebbe Lazar was talking about where you drink a precise amount of a revit. There, a little bit of water makes it not a raviyat bevat achat. But if you drink more than a raviyat, and I must admit that I've had something a little bit more than a raviyat, one could say, so then even if we put in water, it still is an iser of lahorot. Tanur Rabbanan, we darshan the posik, which continues on to say that velo yamutu includes ula havdil bein hakedesh ubein hachol ubein hatamei ubein hatahor ula horot. Now we're going to dash each one of that. La havdil bein hakedesh ubein hachol. This is the domim, erechin, charomim, hekdeshes, any type of estimations, psak halachas that you'd have to make, or whether something has to be given to kodesh, or whether it remains chulin, or how much needs to be given. You're not allowed to be a member of a assessor group or a psak on that if you're drunk. Benatame or benatahar means you cannot be metame or metire in a state of drunkenness. Lahorot is to be mora alokas of the kosher, any iser v'heter. And then it goes on to say at kol achukim, these are drushes for psukim that have alokic implications. Asher diber Hashem, even aloka, this aloka number should be Sinai. Then we have Biyad Moshe is a reference to learning in general, Gemara, because if you're learning Talmud, anything has application, Lahalacha. You might think that this is included in Mishnah. No. Talmud Lomar Lahorot, and you're not allowed to be Mora from a Mishnah. You have insufficient information by definition from a Mishnah. So that you can learn. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, no, not true. You say it like this, Yocholaf Talmud, you might think that just learning Gemara is Aser Talmud, Lomar Lahorot, that it's only a question of being more halach. Now, come on, Aser Ode Tanya, Yotzer Sheretz Tameh, Utsvardeya Tahor, somebody asks a guy who's drunk, is one of the Shemadah Shratzim Tameh, he could say yes. Is a froggy Tahor, he could say yes. It's not one of the Shemadah Shratzim. And it says over there that he could say even Shatuya Yayin, Morin Bemora'a. So is that only true of Libra Ryosi Rabbiuda and not the Rabbanan? Because the Rabbanan say even Talmud? No, come on. A few Tim Rabbanan, we're not talking about kindergarten stuff. I mean, Shani Hakabazil Kari Be Rabu. I mean, call out a kid from the kindergarten like Paro did for Moshe. I mean, that's not taken seriously as a Hora'a.
Because it's a clear
pasuk. Yeah, I mean, who's going to make a mistake in something as idiotic as that? Now, Omer Rav Alok Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda, that actually it's okay to learn Gemara as long as you don't give a psak halacha. Now, wait. I thought Rav wouldn't even give a drush. Meanwhile, if the problem is being mora halacha, so then why not give a drush and don't be mora halacha? That's because Rav is unstoppable. He's always giving her Ross, you know. So Shani Rav, everybody's going to remember in the middle of a drush and not to say that this is a halacha. Impossible. Well, wait a minute. Let him tell the Amira, okay, don't say everything that I say on the loudspeaker. Only say the theoretical stuff and leave out all the horot. So then he could give a drasha and the Amora will be in charge of what to say aloud. I mean, anyway, that's the Amora's job. So why not nekum delolori? Let him be making an Amora in tongue. Only the normal things, but don't say anything that's nagea lokalamaisa. No, come on, man, let's be practical. Rav is sitting there giving a drasha. A Talmud pops up from the audience and says, but didn't Rebbe say that it was mutter to bebeben? And Rav gets off at a tangent with that Talmud, bypassing the Amora completely, and saying, no, the halakha is this, that, and he's going to control himself? Oh, come on. It's impossible. Wherever Rav is sitting, there's no way that Rav is sitting quietly and not giving out hora'ot. So because of that, they canceled the shir.
Insertion.
Then he would wake up the ends of the shilas.
Very nice. Switched off. There were two other poskim that stayed late.
and delayed their Seder. I forgot who the two were. Two of them held their Seder off, so they were available in the early part of the night, and then it would switch to the River Shlomo.
And we have the great honor of being in that complex of rooms of Rav Shmuel Salant. Give our Daf Yomi right here.
That must be it.
And that explains why Richie is a Gilgal. He's a Gilgal of that moment in Rav Shmuel Salant's life. The moment of the nap became Richie.
What are the
We'll see whether a nap helps for more than a revius. How much of a nap you'll need. Okay, Rabotai. Well, no, because it's mixed with water. It's a total. Sure. Our wine is not. It's not considered to be.
So by us, we mean by our wine? It's something we mean.
Well, this is what Rabbi Lazar is saying.
No,
I said
revius of our wine.
It's
not the revius of their wine, right?
No, he's saying, according to Rabbi Lazar. Omar Rav Noi Omar Shmuel. It's true that Bechalavim Ubenevei La Achi Shemit Kilavat Sovik Teachilat Pras. But Oakland Tmein and Mashkim Tmein, they're a filu Kolayom Kulo, the Bechteachilat Pras. Huh? Kolayom Kulo, then how's it Bechteachilat? What are you talking about, my Koma? Omar of Papa Kikoma. Afilu kolayom kulo for the shear of katsipras, as long as each kizayit the kizayit of the akatsipras was eaten bichteyakilas pras. Made thing. Kolo limit star for lipsulag viabik akatsipras. And, I mean, the lashon of the Mishnah is mashma that he ate the katsipras, bichteyakilas pras, like it says afterwards. No. That's a reference to each kizayit, according to Rav Nai. So if you ochal kizayit, kizayit, bechteyakilas pras, meitveh. Kol ochlim mitztarfin lifsolat agvia bechatsi pras, bechteyakilas pras, and let me explain it to you so we don't get confused, okay? Ketzad. Achal v'chazar v'achal im yesh mitchila achila rishona v'atzof achila achrona. Don't give me any of this kizayit jazz. Kidei achilat prats then it's mitzarfim yoter mikan ein mitzarfim. And by the way, lo itiru to an ochel pachot mikishior leireit v'leitfol yarad v'taval v'alav ishlimo would be mitzarif. They were matir to a pregnant woman to be ochel pachot mikashir, but that's bnei sakana. Kol hamashkim mitzarfim lepsolat agviyah b'reviyit b'achilat pras. And let me make that very clear again. Rumors have been coming that there are people who are going to be dorish some kind of weird cheer. So let me just make it clear. Ketzad shata v'chazar v'shata im yesh mitchilat shtiya rishona v'atzov shtiya achrona kedei achilat pras mitzarfim. Yoter mikan ein mitzarfim. I can't make it any more clear. Hu trula lamaga tamemet laanik bina, and yet her bina will be tar for eating his truma baby cereal. Now let's get back to it. Katani miyat im yesh mitkilah chila rishona atzof achila achrona bechtei achilat pras mitzarif. I think that's pretty solid. To yufta de Rav Noi, it is indeed to yufta. Amar. Lo itiru lo ochel pachot mikishur kishur leireid v'litvol. What? What is this all about? Om Rav Yehuda, it's all one statement. It means like this: achal pachot mikishur lo itiru lo leireid v'litvol. Why? Sheim yereid v'taval v'alah, and then eats another chatzi kazayin or whatever the shear is, v'shlimo, whatever he has left for the shear. It would be mitzarif. Now, he doesn't know that, you see. So, atilo meimra ani li tvila kamaita, and he's made a mistake, because eni yodea she'in tvila ela bachrona, after already became tameh. Therefore, we won't allow him to do it, because he's going to get confused. Now, furthermore, we said, hitirlo l'ubrala chopachot b'kishur mipnei ha-sakana. I don't get it. If her life is in danger, she can eat whatever the heck she wants. No, it means she can eat as much as she wants, but she should attempt to eat it pachot in the shiur. But itirla lubra pachot mikishur, even many times. Anyway, Then we say Yitir Lamagata Mimit La Nikit Bina, and her Ben, who is a Kohen, is still Tahar and can eat his baby cereal. Why? Given the anak chalav, he was eating the chalav. Now, maybe you'll tell me that this chalav is tohar because it never got heksher. And even though normally chalav is a mashker, since over here it's being eaten by the tinok immediately, it's called it's a mashke habala echlin, and therefore it requires heksher. It was moksher. It was nitka shebeti pabnuch lechet api adab. Amr of Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravua, this is an aggressive baby. He was Yonak, but Kifachat, Bamo, Loiniak Tipam, Luklechet Apiadat. Amar Rabba, this is ridiculous. State Shuvot B'davar. First of all, nursing from a nipple is not sucking from a straw. And Kachazin al-Apum, the Yanuk, the Mole Chalav. So, of course, there's milk on the nipple. Viod, Makom Chalav doesn't even require action. It's neither Mashkin nor Och. It's a mayan. Diktani chalav aisha metama. Bein l'ratzon, bein shalom l'ratzon. Whereas the chalav of a behima in a metama, el l'ratzon. Now, I mean, I assume l'ratzon means delo nechale. And nonetheless, it's tame. So clearly it can't be mashkin, because mashkin has to be kiyutan. Dum yedachiyitain. El amar rabba, I will give you the lowdown. Hainu time of the benot tahor. It's simply because Mashkin Tameim is a drabonon for Psugvia. It's a suffix, Yonak Ashir, suffix, lo Yonak. And even if you know that he was Yonak Ashir, but you know that it was Yonak Bechteachilas Pras, suffix Yonkov Bechteachilas Pras, so they're not Machmer on baby cereal. Wait a minute, Rava's claiming that Chalav is a Mayan. V'lo tzarich hekshar? And what about the Beferish Mishnah in Kelim? Ha'isha shenatav chalav miladea v'nafal avir tanur, the tanur becomes tamei. V'kashlam b'mayit kasher this chalav. And Rabbi Yochanan said, b'tipam luch lechat al piyadat. Now, you could say, maybe, that Rava argues on Rabbi Yochanan, but it ain't going to help you. Because v'chitem Rava lo sevel like Rabbi Yochanan. What about the Braita? Nimcheita ta'omer, there are 9 different liquids that have to be paskened about a zov. We have ze'ah, lechas, rucha, re'i, that is actually to be mashkin. That's Torah miklum. Dimat eno, dam magafato, and chalav isha is tamei, but it's only tamei as mashkin, which is a shir of a revi'it. Roko, zovo, Meme raglav, ambetamim tumach hamura, becholsho. Now, according to you, Rava, if mokam chalav is a mayan, so then where do you get a revi'it? Where do you give a chalav namishmi? Betami tumach hamura, not tumas mashkin, and it should be metami becholsho, not with a revi'it. So therefore, obviously, chalav is not a mashkin. Hey, but wait a minute. So then we got a problem. Iyachi, what do we do with Rava's Raya, Kasha Matita, where Rava said, it's Batami ben Lorotza, ben Shalol Lorotzen, and used that as his source text. Nach, mi savarta. Lol Lorotzen means the Lonechale. Nach, my Shalol Lorotzen, that the Tinok is assumed to be Lorotzen. To Daite, the Tinok crave alagabe chalav. But if he had said beferish, get that milk out of here. Lo nechalei, then of course it will be tahor. Ochalokin to mayim and shaha bechteach shaha. Lamali shehiya diktani v'shaha. I'm reviewed. No. The word v'shaha is a reference to before. It means he took a long time in becoming the one who drank the revi'it, because the revi'it took him a long time to drink. I'm revi'it achik tani. Achal ochet tmeim. Shata mashkin tmeim. Shata revi'it vishaha ba'akilatan b'shtiatan. Today akilas pras. And then nichnas l'migdash, without any further ado about any shaha, chayav. Rabbi Elazar omer, any type of hefsek, or any type of water in the revi'it, would mean that there's no iser. Tan rabba. Yayin v'shechar al tesh. So the Tana Kama learns like this. Yochal afilu kosho afilu migito, and it hasn't fermented. Tamalam v'shechar. Inu asur ela kedei l'shaker. Kama kedei l'shaker, it has to be revias yayin, and it has to have fermented for 40 yom. So then you'll ask, in Kein Matam and Loma Yayin, just say Shechar. That's to tell me that there's an Isser of Shtiyat Yayin even Bekoshohu. And there's an Isser of Shtiyat Yayin even if it's just grape juice. But the Chiyav of Mitah is only B'Shechar. Okay, that's the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yudomer, Yayin, Ein Liyala Yayin. How about Shan B'Shachrim Inayin? A little bit of vodka. Tamad lomar v'shechar. In kematam lomar yayin. That only al yayin is a chiyuv v'mita b'dei shamayim. V'al shara mashkin b'azara. Rabbi Elazar omer, yayin al teisht. And it has to be davka v'shechar. Meaning, al teisht b'derech shichruto. But if you didn't put it all bottoms up, and you're in Bav Sigbor, maybe you put a little bit of water in there, that's not Derech Shikruto, and therefore it will be Potter. So the argument boils down to this. But my plea, the Tanakhama Sefer Garmina Shekha Shekha Minazir, and therefore it's limited to Yayin. Rabbi Yehuda, loyal of Shekha Shekha Minazir, therefore he had Shar Meshachrin. Rabbi Elazar Savar, Shekhar is not a reference to a material, it's basically an adjective in a modality to Meshaker. Now, come on, also the Tanya. Ochal Develaki Elite, Shatad Vash, Ochalav Niklas Mikdash. Yes, Vishimesh, according to Tosfos. No need Vishimesh, according to the Rambam. Look, come on, Rabbi Yehuda. And that is exactly Shar Meshachrin, including even a little bit of warm milk for a Richie on a cold night. Om Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chutai. Halacha Karabi Elazar. As a matter of fact, Kari Rava later Rabbi Elazar to Vine de Chachimi. Ravacha de Utsal Avedir Ale de Vitum. After the coming of Rashi, I'm like, sorry, I can't help you right now. Zia La Idna, come back tomorrow. The Rav, Lo Muki Amor Alei Miyumatav Lachavre Mishum Shichrut. Om Alei, but I thought you paskin. I'm a Rav, Halacha Karabi Elazar. And he said, if you put in any water, it's not usher. Umaru de karami be maya. I'm like, well, that's only if you only had a reviyah. I have to admit to having imbibed a bit more than that. Habiyot emichle birkele reviyah. Turn around on it. Ulav dil ben hakodesh ben alkohol. That's a reference to damim, erichin, charamim, hekdeshot. Ben atameo ben atahar. That's a reference to tameot v'taharot. Ula horot refers to any horav isra'heter. Et kolachukim. This is drashot that have to do with halacha. Asher diber Hashem. That's halacha, meaning halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. Beyad Moshe is even Talmud because it can be mevili de hora'ah. Yochol afa mishnah. Talmud lomar lahorot, and you cannot be morea from the Mishnah. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yomer, Yochol af Talmud, Talmud lomar lahorot. So, Kamanos, Adatania, Yotza, Sheretz is a Tama. Yeah, yeah, you could say that. Tzvardeya is a Tahor. That, even a Shetuya Yayin can be Mori Behen Hora'ah. So, does that mean that it's going only on Libra the Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yuda? Velo Rabbanan, Afilu Tamer Rabbanan, Vishane Acha, calling a kid from kindergarten, Zir Kori Beravu, that you call a Hora'ah. Amar Rav, Alakak, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yuda. What? But Rav was lo mukim amorei alam yumatav lechavre mishum shichrut. So why can't he just give a drasha and not be mora? No, no. Shiny Rav. Rav was insatiably mora. He was mora. Okay, so then let him get an amora who will filter out all around v'nekim dololori. Nah, forget it. Somebody's bound to ask a question, and he's bound to give an answer, and he'll bypass his amora.
That was the daf from the 12th cycle of the International Daf Yomi. Hold on, and you shall hear the same daf from the cycle 7.5 years ago, cycle number 11.
Today's daf is daf Yud Gimel in the second Kama Yishebo Ochlin
What is the shiur? We spoke about the way that you can be mitzarek, different ochlin, as long as they're obviously of the same type. We talked about different tamchuyim, if they were made in a sholent, if they were made in a frying pan. But we didn't talk about what the shiur was. How long can you wait between the beginning of the act of eating and the closure of the eating? Ki'ilu ochel klayot, divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says the shiur is as if you've turned it into popcorn, basically, and you're eating it piece by piece. And as long as it would take you to eat all of that like popcorn, then you would be considered to be within one achila. Gemara is going to try to get a better grasp of what Rabbi Meir is saying. The Chachamim omrim ad shishem mitzvilah v'atzof kidei achilat pras. The shear is the shear as it is all over, which is the shear of a half of a kikar, a process that is broken. So there's a half of a kikar. The derech of a kikar is to be four beitzim. Actually, that's Rashi Shita, this other Shita of shesh beitzim. But in any event, it's quite a large shear compared to the simple gezeiros. Ochal ochlin tmeim, v'shatar mashkin tmeim. Shatar revi'it yayin, v'nechnas l'migdash, v'shaha. If he ate various ochlin tmeim, or he drank mashkin tmeim, or he drank revi'is yayin and went into Beit HaMikdash, drinking a revi'it yayin is considered to be, forget about tuma, we're talking about over here shichrut, that yayin v'shechar alteshed. And in all of these cases, the shiur would be kedeach lepras. And the Gemara is going to talk about why it says v'shaha afterwards, which is mashmi needed to be shohe in the Beit HaMikdash, kedeach lepras. Doesn't seem to make sense. That is chayav. Again, the Gemara will be mazbe in the various clauses of the Mishnah. Rav Eliezer omer im pasakba. If you didn't drink the entire thing down in one shot, or eat the entire thing one after another, but you interrupted, oim natan b'mayim. This is the guy with the yisur of shtiyat yayin in the Mikdash. It's not talking about the shear of tziruv. Or if you put water, even if you did drink the whole wine down at one time, but it was mixed, and mixed it with water a little bit, he would be put. Iboilo. When Rabbi Meir said his shear that it's the same as eating popcorn, now was that l'chumra ka'amar or l'kula ka'amar? Is he saying something that is a greater chumra and that offers us even a longer period in which we can be mitzarek the shiurim to be mechayev you? Or is he saying a shorter period that you would need to complete the achila within greater stringency of time than the chachomim say? How would this work out? Well, if he's saying it l'chumra, then he's saying like this, okay, Tony. Ki'ilu ochel klayot, it's as if you'd be eating popcorn, dafilu kula yume, afagav de mitchila v'atzov, yoter mitchli achilas pras, kiven de mashke achilate mechay, if it would be l'chumra, then basically what he was saying is, look, the idea here is that as long as you continue to eat it, one piece after another, even if you took your time, it could be, you know, could be all day, but you're sort of munching. So even if it would be longer than today, Achilles Pras, it would also be Machayv, you know, that's a big Chumra. Or he might be saying Lakula, in which case what he's saying is, so then Rabbanan would be answering him, the Amrul Rabbanan, the Achi Yeshevich, the Achilles Pras of the Chayv, the Rabbanan, then their response would have been no. It's only if you spent the Kedei Achilas Pras not a minute longer. But Yoter Mekedei Achilas Pras Patur. Or the other way of understanding that Lekula is Odilma Lekula Ka'omar, Dachi Katani. Ki ilu ochel klayot, it's as if you're eating the kind of munchies that you can't stop. You know, you put one in your mouth and you put another one in your mouth, you just keep going. Yeah, in which case what he's saying is that the shiur of Kedei Achilas Pras would only be the lo yipsik beini beini. You can't stop eating, but if you stop, then that's not like eating your potato chips. And then if it was yipsik beini beini, I don't care even if you manage to fit in the entire achila within the time of Kedei Achilas Pras, an interruption is an interruption. And I'm talking about the mode of eating. The mode of eating is popcorn eating. That's the pshat. Right? You remember the classic picture of the guy looking at the screen with his eyes blanked out and his hands just walk automatically to the popcorn, right? In the oven. That's what he means. That guy never stops eating. So therefore, he would be saying a kula. In other words, if you stop eating for a minute, even if you fit it into the Kvechilas Pras, you would still be potter. And then, according to that version, the Rabbonin would be telling him, ah, no, even the Mitzchila Vatzot, but Kvechilas Pras, what's the difference how he ate it? The important is the amount of time, and if the amount of time is Kvechilas Pras, then he would be chayev, even if he was mafsik in the middle. Tashma, well, take a look at the language of the Mishnah. Now, what is ad sheyishtev? You say, if you're telling me that Rabbi Meir has given an expanded time, so then they would say, oh no, it's ad sheyishtev. It's only if you did it this way. Ad sheyishtev means ad sheyishtev. Then it makes sense the language that they choose to argue with Rabbi Meir. But if you're going to tell me in Amrit that Rabbi Meir meant lakula, and he was adding additional stringencies, and which would cause him to be potter in the definition of what it means with the Akhidas Pras, he can't interrupt. So then, what should the Chachamim have said? The Chachamim have said, well, what's the difference? Imshah with the Akhidas Pras. The point isn't how you ate it, it's just as long as you were Shoer with the Akhidas Pras, and no longer, you would be Chayyab. But I think only if Shah with the Akhidas Pras. Rabbi Meir wasn't arguing on the Kvechilas Pras. He was arguing on the mode of Achila. I don't like it when you look like you're concentrating.
I don't follow the logic here of why that has to be argued. This has to be able to argue it the other way as well.
Okay. Huh?
To argue both for Chumra and Lakula.
How?
What would be?
How would you say the word odd?
How would you explain it?
Odd means only if.
Only if.
Right.
You would be saying chayiv.
No,
only chayiv.
I would be saying, that makes sense. That's the first one. Your Rebbe Meir would be saying lakuli, saying potter. And you're saying, well, he'd only be chayiv if. Well, understand, I said, it's the opposite direction. What you want to say is, no, what's the difference? How? As long as, im, not ad, right? And the Lav Shmami, not Rebbe Meir, Lechub Shmami. That conclusively proves to us that Rebbe Meir indeed was trying to say that the time could expand even beyond the Kvechilas Pras, as long as basically you were involved in punching. Whereas the Chachamim is saying, no, only and uniquely if you finish within the prescribed time. Omar Rav Noi Omar Shmuel, when it comes to Chela or Nevela, the shiur of achila is achi yishem mitchila v'atzof b'chteak v'espras. And if you were eating ochlin tmeim, shkotzim remoshim, umashkim, the shkotzim remoshim is clearly, as you'll see in a moment, a wrong girsa. Because what it's talking about over here is a reference, as we will see, to tumat gviyah. And let's just interrupt for a moment to talk about Tumat Gviyah. There's two completely different shiurim that have to do with Achila Vishtia. One has to do with Isser. That would include the Isser of Achila Skelev, the Isser of Nebela, or for that matter, Shkotzim Remoshim too, unless they were a Birya, of course. And then there's a new halacha which has to do with Tumat. And that's called Tumat Gviyah. Now, in Yoraisa, a human being cannot contract Tumah from foods, neither liquids nor solids. Because the maximum level of tumah that foodstuff can contain is always limited to being a rishon l'tumah. There's no such thing as a liquid that's a food that is more than a rishon l'tumah. And therefore there's no way for a human to be contract tumah from, you can only be mitzameh from an avah tumah. However, because there are mashkim that are avot tumah, even though they are not really drinkable, but in other words, if you're talking about, let's say, a zav, so the spit of a zav, or the semen of a zav, or the urine, so on and so forth, various mayonas of a zav, will be metame as an avatuma. Therefore, the Rabbanan were machmer on things that could easily contract an avatuma. They made a gezeira. about mashkin, all types of gzeiros about mashkin, which we'll see later on that mashkin can even be metamei kelim under certain circumstances. Plus, one of the takaras that they made in order to avoid tuma, that would be mixing in your mouth with things that are able to be metamei ochlin u'mashkin, because ochlin u'mashkin can be metamei ochlin u'mashkin, they also made a takana that if you're eating things that are themselves able to be metamei other ochlin u'mashkin, then you become yourself ki'ilu your tamei to eat truma. Not really tamei, but pasul from achilat truma. And that's called tumat gviya mirabanan. Your body becomes tamei mirabanan. The shiur that they gave for that achila is an achila of a shiur of chatzi pras.
Who's it going to bother?
I don't think so. I think the plastic will protect it. We can use the nice fresh air, especially mixed with, unless you're cold, of course. No, I don't think anything will happen this one. So now, what he seems to be talking about is ochlin tmeim mashkim afilu kol hayom kulo is bichtei achilas pras. The Gemara says, Maika Omar, what exactly is he talking about? I'm a pukov kam. Afilu kol hayom kulo v'hu she'ochal kizayis bichtei achilas pras. Now the question over here is this. When the Rabbanan gave a shiur of the chatzi pras, a chatzi pras is a lot larger than a kizayit. Nonetheless, the shiur that was given as to the maximum length of the achila from beginning to end was also b'chtei achilas pras, which is a little strange. I mean, if you eat a kezayis b'chtei achilas pras, and if you're eating the shiur of a chatzi pras, which has numerous kezayisim in it, depending on the shitas, then why do you only give me a shiur of b'chtei achilas pras? So the Gemara answers elsewhere that since tumat gviya is only drabanam, so okay, so we were making also, if you can't get all that achila in compressed within the time that it would take you to eat a full pras, then you're not considered to be tamei b'tumat gviya either. But Rav Papa's understanding is that the shir of tumat gviya is that every kizayit of the chatzi pras has to be eaten b'shir achilas pras. You see? So according to him, what it's saying is, I can stretch out the achila of that which is matame ve tumat gviya, namely the shir of achilas chatzi pras, over the course of a long time, as long as I never eat one kizayit of it, spread out in longer than the time that it takes to eat a full pras. According to which, there's not a real difference in the zman achila that's assigned. Remember, the zman achila is basically giving you a definition of what it means to eat. That's what eating is. That is not called an act of eating. It's consumption on some level. Whatever you'd like to call it, but it doesn't have a din. Yeah, it doesn't have a din of achila. Nibbling is not a funny term because it's the term basically that Rabbi Meir was talking about in terms of the popcorn. There was one explanation of the Mishnah is that nibbling is eating. Okay, but that's not how we came up. But the point is that what Rabbi Barfoka is saying here is that there's two different components to the halacha of achila that's b'tamei gviya. One is the consumption. You spread the consumption over as long a period as you want. The other one is the act of achila that led to that consumption, and that's defined in the normative way, namely, achila b'chtei achilas pras of one kizayit. So in other words, he splits the issues over here. There's the shear of chatzi pras, and then there's the shear of each kizayit within that chatzi pras. Okay? Now, that the Gemara has objections to. Mason. Kola ochlin mitstarfen lifsol hagviya bika chatzi pras. Now look, I mean, what the shear that's given is that any type of food which is tamei is mitstarif for someone who eats it to pasul him from eating truma, which is called psul gviya, within the shear of a chatzi pras. So now, what does that mean? I mean, if that's the shear, so my love, the achlin the chatzi pras, but the achlin pras, no? I mean, that means that the shear of achila here is chatzi pras, and therefore the shear of kedei achilas pras is to eat that chatzi pras within the time that it would take to eat an achilas pras. No, says Rav Papa, that's not what it means.
It means that he ate each kezayit, the kezayit, the chayakilas pras. Every kezayit of the shear of the chatzi pras was eaten within a shear of kezayakilas pras. That's what I insist it means. Okay, let's take a look at the next makor. Meisvet. Kola ochlim mitztarfen b'sota gviya b'kachatzi pras. B'chayakilas pras. Now hold on here. Here it says, the shear of achilas chatzi pras spread out over the shear of a kedeyakilas pras, and it explains precisely what it means. Kesa. Achal v'chazar v'achal. You took a bite. You then go back, you take another bite. Im yesh mitchila achila rishana v'atsof achila achrona. I mean, come on. That means from the beginning of the shear of the chatzi pras to the end of the shear of the chatzi pras. If it took you only as long as it would have taken to eat a normal achila of a pras, then it would be mitztarev. Yoter mikan, a mitztarfi. I'd like to see Rav Papa get out of that. I mean, that's about as clear as you could possibly get. That the shear of achila's pras is given, strangely enough, even when the total achila is itself a chatzi pras, far greater than the shear of a kezayis. And that, as the Gemara explains elsewhere, is because of the kula of tumat gviya, which is the rabbana. So we force you to put that, compress that achila within a shorter amount of time if it's going to be matami the gviya. Further now, once we started this bride, so we're going to add some the rest of it, which also has to do with our sugya, and that is that lo hitiro le'ochel pachot mishiyur mikashiyur, it should say, they were not matir an ochel, not an ochel, okay? Lo yitiru lo ocha, someone who ate, a person who ate less than a shear, he is not allowed to go and be table. That's very strange. The Gemara is going to say, what's that supposed to mean? Yarad v'taval, if he went and he was table, the Allah, now he comes out of the mikveh, now he eats the rest of the shear of the today achilas chatz, of the achilas chatzi pras, and it's still within the shear of kedei achilas pras, it's mitztarev. So in other words, a guy eats his quarter of a pras, goes to the mikveh, comes out of the mikveh, and eats another quarter of a pras. He now ate a chatzi pras. If he can do that entire eating within the shear of an achilas pras, including his tefillah in the mikveh, then he's got it made, and now he's usher to eat truma. Now this, by the way, has a very, very fascinating offshoot, because the famous shear of Kedei Achilas Pras, which is 9 minutes, is derived from, by the Chassam Sofer, from this Gemara. Because he brings a raya about the time it takes for shear of tefillah, from the halachas that talk about tefillah, legabe nightfall and Shabbos and so on, or legabe yikonim shetoflim, v'oflim after the tefillah, it's enough time for. And he proves that it would have to be at least 9 minutes. So that means that even though you've interrupted with a tefillah, it's an 18 minutes would be the shear of the chatzi pras. It would mean that you'd have to have at least 9 minutes over here that is allotted to you to be able to eat. Because if you had enough time to go to the mikvah, and you're still within the shear of achilas pras, so then clearly you've got 9 minutes for a shear of achilas pras. So this he uses against those who argue, oh, achilas pras, 2 minutes, you know, there's people stuffing their mouths up when they're sitting at the Seder, you know, where you need to have a doctor handy to save them from choking and so on. Since people obviously in those days ate as if they were completely mad. So he brings a raya from here that you have at least 9 minutes for a shear of achilas pras. The shear of the time of going to the mikveh, the Gemara uses, and remember, and then you have after that, already it must be a din of that they're allowed to eat because it's already sunset. Yeah, there's a few Gemaras that interrelate that shear to actual times, especially the Gabi nightfall for Shabbos, and so on, and Ashmashas. So, okay, so he brings a riot from there that it's 9 minutes. It's fascinating. Okay, so that's number one. Now, the Gemara is going to go over the various pieces of this brisa. Right now, we're just saying what the brisa says, and then we'll come to understand what it means. Hitiru lo l'ubra le'chol pachot mikishiyur mipnei hasakana. Now, they did allow a mu'uberet, to eat less than a shiur, because of the danger of her circumstances. Now this is, again, the Gemara is going to ask, what is this danger? I mean, what do you mean, we need him to be mater? I mean, what does this mean? Furthermore, kol ha-mashkin mitztarfen lepsolot ha-gviya v'revi'it b'chtei ha-filas pras. Any type of liquid which is tome will be mitzuraf in the same shear, for some kohen is now drinking various types of liquids. As long as they're tome, they will all be mitztarfed within the shear of achilas pras to be metame his body. Even though we're talking about drinking over here, it's a revius, it's still a revius b'chtei achilas pras. Ketzad, shata, v'chazar v'shata, he drank, and then he takes another drink later, as long as, v'yesh mitzvilat sh'tia rishona, v'yatzof ha-sh'tia achrona, k'dei achilas pras, mitztarfim, yoter mikan, ein mitztarfim. So, they gave you the same sheer actions, this major machlokas la-halocha, for the liquids of revias are defined, of shiurim like this are defined by shiurim of drinking or shiurim of eating. But in any event, for gabe tziruf of mashkin tmeim, which is what it's going to end up talking about, we're making all that it's even if they have this pras, which is a longer shear. Huchula lamaga tameimets. Furthermore, they were matir a woman who was in contact with someone who was tamei meis. In other words, she never touched a meis herself. She touched a tamei meis. A tamei meis is an avatuna, and therefore she who becomes tamei only becomes a rishon latuna. If she touched a meis, she would have herself been an avatuna. And they said it is okay for her, lahanik bina, it's okay for her to nurse her child, and nonetheless that child would be considered to be tahor. So assuming that this is a family of Kohanim, they could then take the Kohen special baby oil and rub it on the baby after she nurses him, and that would be okay because he did not contract tumah from his mother's milk, even though she was coming.
As long as she wasn't the one who was rubbing it, right?
As long as she wasn't the one who was rubbing it. They always get the men to do that, Richard. You know, I mean, the one thing you could say is that I'm not going to nurse the baby. But anything else...
Did Nida, the baby
from Nida, we're going to talk, we'll talk about a case of Nida later on. But right now, she's to her other than being a tummy mix.
Is it just for Klein that we're here
too? No, it's just for Klein. I mean, he too doesn't mean that there's mystery involved. He too means... And then to use the oil of truma and so on. Because there's no problem with truma that's involved. Now, but anyway, but getting back to our question, katani mia. So the bottom line, in reference to Rafopa's assertion that the shir of the achila bras is a reference to each kizayis of the achila v'chatzis bras of truma's gnia. I mean, that's absurd. Look what it says over here. Quote, Im yesh mitzvilat achila rishona ad sof achila b'chtei achilat prat mitztaref. That clearly shows that Rav Nai's approach is wrong. So it's therefore to yufta, the Rav Nai to yufta. That approach of the shear is in, of each kezias is impossible. Omama, lo hitiru lo'ochol, lo'ochel, pakot, Mishiur le'red v'litfol. What? My karma, what do you mean? You don't allow him to go to the mikvah? What? Omrav, you know, no. It's all connected. This case is part of what you thought was a different case. Achav pachot mikashiur. Lo hitiru le'red v'litfol. Why? Express down to what you thought was another case. She'im, and now continues the brisa, yarad v'taval v'alav ishlimo mitztarek. Since if he had come out of that mikveh and he continued to eat, he would have become tamei even though he ate less than the shear, because it would be mitzurah with what he ate before the mikveh. Because look, after all, people could make the mistake of thinking that a mikveh cancels tumah. So look, I ate a little bit of stuff that's tamei and I went to the mikveh. I mean, mikveh takes off tumah, right? So that canceled my eating of tumah. Now I can start again.
And I have the full shear. I'm not going to eat a shear. I'm going to be very careful. I don't want to be tummy gliya. So Atila Maimar, a guy could make the mistake of thinking that Ahani Litzvila Kamaita. I went to the mikvah in between, so now I get to start all over again. They know you're there. He doesn't understand that tefillah only works when you're tummy. It doesn't sort of work to counteract any exposure to tuma that wasn't the time of you. I mean, that's ridiculous. What does that have to do with eating? There's no tuma yet. So therefore, he doesn't understand that. And therefore, they said, look, if you're going to go eat truma, I mean, you're not allowed to be somek on eating a katsish, even though you know what you're doing. We're gozer against this because of people who don't know what they're doing. Now, it then says, what is that supposed to mean? A pregnant woman that had to be matami, masakana? So then, what do you mean, pachot mikashir? If she's in danger, we'll let her eat whatever she wants. Why are we giving her shiurim over here? If she's pregnant and she has some kind of danger to her pregnancy, which could endanger her life, I mean, well, we're sitting here telling her how much she's allowed to eat? It means, pachot mikashir afilu tuva. The idea of here is I don't care how many times she wants to eat this shiur, but the idea is that she can eat as much as she wants. She should attempt to eat it b'chatzi shiur. Let's say where she's going to be eating a lot of truma, but she could get along with eating this truma that would have asked her to eat the truma. So then, whatever is possible to avoid Isser, let her avoid eating the Isser. And eat it b'kachat yishir. Now, the next thing it says is that itiru lemaga tome meit lahanik. So she's allowed to go to nurse her child, and the child is tahor. So, why is the child tahor? Didn't he drink milk that was tome? Isn't the milk that he's drinking tome? I mean, why is he tahor? I mean, granted, he's an infant, but I mean, you're telling me that the Chachamim made a takana that someone who eats or drinks a certain amount is not allowed then to be in contact with tuna, with truma. So ki amaytor, even the yonak chalav, itmin mechalav. I know what you're going to say. Vechitei meloit kasher. You're going to tell me that no, the drink that he was drinking, and this is a very important thing to know, that a mashkin, which is ba'al ochel, in other words, a liquid that has been used as food, has a din of a solid. Milk, to a tinok, is food. It's not a drink. Therefore, it has a din of a solid. If it has a din of a solid, then it needs to come in contact with liquid to become tummy.
It can't be moksha itself.
No. So that means that this milk, even though, yes, it touched a woman whose tummy mace, but solids that touch something that's tummy will not become true tummy unless they first came in contact with a liquid. So over here we have essentially a solid that was not in touch with a liquid. But that's not true. Why? Because there's always, itmela, it was always niskasha, rather, betipa miluchlechet al piyadah. There's always a little bit of milk on the nipple that's not going to be consumed by the tino. And that's actually part of the whole nursing process. It makes the nursing easier for the tino. He's not going to drink it. Since he's not going to drink it, it's a liquid. Since it's a liquid, it can be mopshir, the milk that he is going to drink. So therefore, that's a horrible case, right? That's not the liquid. Spit is in the liquid. No. It has to be one of the mashkin. Cholov is a mashkin. No. Rok as well. Omer Nachman, Omer Rabba Barvua. Well, I'll tell you the case over here is that Tinok was good and thirsty, man, and he was just yonik with kifah. This was an attack. He went in. He got that all down. There was a chance to touch that the milk in his mouth would touch that milk. So therefore, this was one heck of a tinoch. Let me tell you, this is a true gross in Brooklyn tinoch. You remember the tinoch in there was nursing till he was 4 years old. His mother had to finally stop him from nursing by drawing a witch face on her nipple. That scared him off. Vicious. Omar Rav, and of course Rav comes up with his normal response, which is, I've got two responses to that. I remember that Rav always says the state you wrote the Gemara. So I've got two responses to that. Chada, first of all, the Kachazina Lepumidi Inuki de Molechalav. I mean, anybody who's ever watched an infant knows that the moment that he opens up his mouth, you see milk dripping all over the place, oozing all over the place. There's no such thing as a child who opens his mouth and it's all dry because it's a tipa akar. It ain't never happened. So of course there's going to be a tipa melukhlechet al hadar, and that's going to be makshir the chalav. And once it's makshir the chalav, then that means that the woman was metame. So there, that's number one. But the other, and I have a more fundamental point, the other point is that makom chalav mayanu. Point is this. Milk is considered to be not just a liquid, but an actual ma'ayan. Now, at this point, Rava thinks that the meaning of ma'ayan, later the Gemara is going to zero in on this and define it better. There's a number of different meanings in ma'ayan. When it talks about, normally when we're talking about a case of tuma yotzah migufo or migufa, so we have a case of a zav or we have a case of a nida, the various liquids that come from the body themselves, some of them have a din of a ma'ayan, ma'ayanot hazav. Ma'ayanot hazav azava are metame betuma chamura. That's considered to be the actual zav or the zavara, or the nida as the case may be. If chalav is one of those ma'ayanot, then that means that it would be metame in this case, even though the child wants to eat it, and it would be considered technically as an ochlin, but because it's a mayan, it still retains its din of liquids. Tosis points out that this seems to be absurd. We're not talking about a nida, we're talking about a woman who touched a mace, in which case there's no... Yes, but the Navatua doesn't have mayanot. Mayanot expressed the idea of the body that is tamei.
No matter what the level of tumis.
A body that's tamei is always tamei as an avat. There's no such thing as a body that's mitame. So a body that's mitame has its own wellsprings, so to speak. So in other words, its own hafrashot, its own excretions, not all, but certain excretions, are considered to be like the wellsprings of that body, which has absolutely no relationship to a woman who happens to be a tamei mace, where it's not her body that's giving off tumor. And so she's simply absorbed tumor from something else. So the whole thing, therefore, explains Tosfos, is a borrowed term. All that we're trying to say is that because chalav is generally viewed as a ma'ayan, had she been, let's say, a nida, at least that's what we think it means here, then you'd have to give it at least the standing of a liquid vis-a-vis the din of tuma kala, which is the question of, is it makabel tuma like a liquid? And if you're giving it the din of a liquid, then it doesn't require heksher. So you don't need the tipa b'luch lechet al hadad, and therefore it won't matter whether this is a tree grows in Brooklyn kind of child or a normal child. He still, even if theoretically you believe such a thing, that he could go be tokate and not leave a drop of milk, it wouldn't make any difference, because the milk is not a solid, the milk is a liquid, since it comes from mayan. So what he's doing is he's parsing the concept of mayan into mayan in terms of tumat hamura. And then just the fact that it is a ma'ayan, and ma'ayan by definition means that things that come from it are liquid. And therefore the milk coming from the dad is liquid. Forget about its state of tumor. Since it's liquid, it doesn't require heksher. Now those are my two problems.
This is right. She was a baby.
Or if I tell you, I'm not sure.
She was a baby
to go. And therefore, let's go over the steps. Okay, we asked B'nat Tahor, why is the B'nat Tahor? And we answered, well, you're going to try to answer that it's because he was not Mukshar, right? That's what you're going to try to answer. No, it was Mukshar, because you tried to bring me a case where that wouldn't help. I'm showing you that case is not a good case, in which case, as our president points out, we're left with our original question. So why is the ben tahor? Now that you're saying that the child has had tamei milk, no matter what, so why is he tahor? Rava is essentially coming now to reconstitute the first question, the original question, which is why is benat tahor? We got rid of the interruption which attempted to explain that the child is tahor because there was never any tumah in the milk since it wasn't mukshar. We've shown now for two reasons that that's not possible. Okay. Therefore, Rava offers his own explanation. Elo amar Rava. Hainu taimet benat tahor, I will explain to you. Oops, sorry. We have to bring his proof that mokum chalav is a ma'ayan, that the place where chalav comes from is considered to be a ma'ayan, it's an actual wellspring of the body. How can I prove that to you? Diktani chalav isha mitame bein l'ratzon bein shelol ratzon. Interesting. A woman's milk would be mitame even if nobody wanted it to be there. In other words, say this child doesn't want a nurse. The mother's trying to get the child to nurse. He doesn't want a nurse. So in that case, the halacha is that the heksher would never have taken place. Because one of the dinim of heksher is, if you will recall, the Torah writes ki yutan mayim al zera. But it spells the word ki yutan without a vav. So you can read it ki yitain mayim al zera. So there we learn ki yutan dumya the ki yitain. That the only time that you have hechsher is when the liquid is there because you want it to be there, as if you put it there. But if nobody wants it there, even though it's liquid, it's not machsher. So if the rain falls on something that you left outside and you didn't want it to get wet, that's not going to be machsher to be makabel to. Now, when it says over here shalom, bein l'ratzon, bein l'shalom l'ratzon, whereas behimah in metame l'ratzon, milk from an animal is only metame if you want it. Now, what's the meaning of that? Am I allowed shalom l'ratzon? No, there's something. When it says that it's not wanted, it means the child doesn't want to drink. V'katani metame, it says metame anyway. Why would it be metame anyway? Because a human has mayanot. Therefore, El Amarav, I will explain to you why that child is tahor, even though he was drinking milk that is in fact tameh. The reason is because it's a svake svaker. Basically, do I know how much the baby drank when I have a milkometer between the dot and his mouth? So, first of all, I don't know whether it was yonak kishiur, sofek lo yonak kishiur. Ve'im tim tzolomer yonak safa yonko b'filat pras. Maybe Suffolk Yom Tobio. Theophilus Cross. We have no way of measuring the consumption level and the rapidity of the milk consumption of the Tino. Therefore, look, we are talking about a Tumah Derabbanan over here, and what they said was, don't worry about it. That's basically all they said. We made a Takana, but the Takana doesn't apply to infants or nursing. Who's going to know whether they ate it or not? Drank a Revius, the fabulous. Forget about it, it's okay. You can still use the baby oil when you change your room. Exactly, because you were making one. Problem is that Rava just said something that is insupportable. He said that chalav is a ma'ayan. Now, if he meant that literally, chalav is a ma'ayan, that would mean in the case of a woman who's a nida, that chalav would be an avatuma. Forget about the mashkin issue, right? It doesn't even have to be mashkin now. Let me just give you a brief introduction to that concept. Liquids are liquids in two completely different ways. They are liquids because the Torah says that as mayim falls on a foodstuff, and now that foodstuff comes into touch with something tamei, that foodstuff will be tamei. That means that a liquid has a magic property, even though it's completely tahor, of preparing a foodstuff to absorb tumor. Okay, that has nothing to do with its being tamei. It doesn't reflect on its nature at all. It just is a din called hechsher. It's machshir lekabalat tumah. There's another din of mashkim, in which the mashkim are considered to be an excretion of the body, and those are only certain types of mashkim. For instance, they need first to be collected in the body. They can't just come out. There needs to be a way in which it's collected,
and then excreted. All right, let's see the differences, and then we'll go through the various cases. So that's called a mayan, and there the liquid is not because it's one of the liquids that are mentioned in the Torah, like wine or milk or honey and so on, but it's because it's part of the excretions of a body, and those are called mayanot. Now here, Rava is claiming that chalav is a mayan, which would mean that besides being a liquid to be makshel kabel tuma, if that woman is a zavar, she's a nida, it's actually going to be part of the body that's metame. Now, if that's true, that means that some of this woman's milk will fall onto a kli. It would be metame the kli because of nida, right? So now the question is, how could Rava maintain such a thing since it says beferish otherwise? Well, the Rava makom chalav mayanu velo tzarich hekshar. Are you claiming that it's really a mayan? The atzna. Ha'isha, this is referring to an isha who is a nida. She natav chalav nida deha. She bent over the stove, but she had been nursing, and some drops of milk now fall into the oven. V'nafala avir tanur. The tanur becomes tummy. And we ask there, v'kashlan b'may it kasher. How did that milk become tummy? Which is an insane question to ask. If milk is a mayan, I mean, how did it become tummy? It's the mocker of the tuma. It doesn't have to become tummy. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan, v'tipa menuch lechad api hadan. He gave the same answer that we said over here, which of course is where we got this whole idea from. It's from that little lechad, of course, doesn't mean dirty. It means lock. that wet bit of milk that now surrounds the nipple is not considered to be the food of the tino. Therefore, it can be marked for the milk to be makabel tuma, exactly as that which Rava denied, which Rava said wouldn't be necessary, and that the milk itself was a mashkin, and therefore does not require actual makabel tuma. This seems to undo Rava in every possible way. It's saying that it's not a mayan, and it's saying that it's not a liquid. So how does he explain that? Now maybe you'll say, okay, this is Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi maybe doesn't agree with Rabbi Yochanan. Maybe Rabbi has some kind of other explanation. Look, how are we fooling ourselves into believing that Chalav is a Mayan when the Brisa comes along to clearly distinguish? It's a Mishnah. It's about time. But where the Mishnah Makshirin defines carefully what things are considered to be Mukshar, what things are Makshir, and what things are themselves Mayanot. And look how it splits up the various liquids under consideration. About time. Nimtzeta Ta'omer. So, the bottom line is Tish'a Mashkin. We have now 9 types of Mashkin that we have to take into consideration over here, in the cases of Ziva, and they would include Ze'a, Lechasucha, Re'i, Torin Miklum. If you have sweat, or you just have that damp body residue, or you have excrement, which is liquid, all of those things are Tahor. Mikulam. They have no tumor whatsoever. They're not one of the mashkin. They're not going to be mukshir kabel tuma. They can't be makabel tuma. And they can't be makshir makabel tuma. They're certainly not a source of tumor. Dimat eino, tears. Dam magapato. If you have blood that comes from a woman, or you have chalav isha, or you have a mother's milk, mitamim tumat mashkin, they would only be metame as normal liquids are, which would mean that they would require a revius. Tosis is very bothered by this because all over Tosis holds you don't need a revius, because the clouds are not focused, Rashi and Tosis all over. And Tosis is bothered by the fact that the mucker of a woman's milk being considered to be a mashkin is from the story of Yael, where it says Vatitach et Nod HaChalav, which we understand means that she gave her own breast to Sisra. and got him tired out in many ways, and ended up being able to kill him. Now that seems to be a marker that's the Oraita, in which case it would have to be even a Mashu, Meshitato. And he says, it seems from here that that pasuk is only an Esmachta, and that really Chalav Isha is only a Durabonan, and that's why they were Mekil that you require Urvias. And there's a lot of Shitas arguing it. But in any event, it's clearly saying over here that a woman's milk is not a Mayan. It's only a Mashki. Roko, Zovo, Meme Raglav, Betamin Tuma Chamura. On the other hand, his spit, the zivot itself, the urine of his zov, all of these things are metame tuma chamura. They're an avatuma, the way the zov himself is. Even the tiniest little bit would be metame. Biyam et makom chalav mayanu. For heaven's sakes, if Rav is going to claim that the chalav of Anida is the mayan, so then over here, if this chalav fell into the tanur, and it's matami to tanur with a mashu to mechamura, not because mashkin to mayim and rabbonim are matami a kli, and that's only in certain circumstances. It makes a difference whether it's the back of the kli, the front of the kli. I mean, that's not what we should be talking about over here. We should be talking about matami to mechamura bechol shehu, just like zov and just like rok of the nida. Ela shmami amakom chalav lav mayanu. There's no way you could possibly read it this way. Gee. So wait a minute, but what happened to the other price? Rubber proved that it has to be called a Mayan, right? Rubber said, I'll prove it to you. It says, Chalavi Shamatame, Beilaratzon Ben Shalolaratzon. If it's only a normal Mashkin, you're talking about Heksher, then why Shalolaratzon? Why are we bothering with Rubber? Don't we have a contradiction in the bride? So it's over here. I mean, you're attacking Rava, but the truth is, isn't that a problem of the Brisa itself? Therefore, comes along now, Rava to say, or actually, yeah, we should take out that the Amar Rava here, because I mean, it's the Lashon of Brisa. The Bach takes that. So Yofi Kasher Matzisa, that said, quote, Mitame Bein Ratzon Bein Shalol Ratzon. Well, that's not a problem. Mitzapet Shalol Ratzon Di Omar Delo Nechalei. Lo. My Shalol Ratzon Di Omar. The Daite Hittina Kreva Lagabe Chalav. Avol Omar Lo Nechalei Tohor. When you say Bein Ratzon Bein Shalol Ratzon, which we assumed meant even though the Tinoch refuses this milk, that it's still going to be Matami. That was a mistake. Shalol Ratzon simply meant without in any indication that there was an intent to drink this milk. So in other words, the mother was getting ready to nurse. The baby was just sitting there, not particularly interested in nursing, not crying, not shaking its head, and so on. The assumption there, all that the Brice is saying is, that since the dot of a tinok has very fond places for milk, so the shalol ratzon, meaning a non-indication of desire to nurse, is the equivalent of a desire to nurse. That's all that it means. And therefore, we would give it a halacha of being mukshar. But as far as the din, where it literally, the tinok absolutely refused to nurse, that would be shalol ratzon. And you know, it would not be much. That's all that it meant over there.
But what about the tinok?
So that therefore would mean, so now we have to understand that of course we never meant Mayan in the sense of real Mayan. This Tosfos explains on Amud Aleph that originally Rava, the whole Gemara and interpretation was that it meant literally a Mayan. Whereas all that Rava was trying to say is that it's a Mayan in terms of its being a liquid. That's all that was meant. Of course he would agree to this entire thing. Now, it says over there if he drinks wine and then he shohed, what do we need shohed for? He already drank the wine. There's a din of shiya of a shir of kedei akiva in the Beis Hamikdash in order to be over on the Yisr of Kenisa as a shikor. I don't understand what that means. No. the Shiyah is talking about the Shir of when you originally drank it. Haki Katani. Oh, Kalachun to me. Shasa Mashkin to me. Or Shasa Rabbi Yisyayin. And in all of those acts of eating and drinking, Shahab, Dafilatan of Shiyatan, Kedeafilat Pras, Kedeafilat Pras, not that the Shiyah was in the Beit HaMikdash. Now, Rabbi Eliezer has a fascinating Shita, which is, put a little bit of water in the wine, and you won't be chay for shatu yayin in the Beit HaMikdash. The pasuk says yayin v'shechar al peish. Now you might think that means yochal afilu kolshu, afilu migito. You might think that means anything that is generally called yayin, even badatz wines or even grape juice, wine straight out of the gut. You two things. First of all, the amount. It has to be enough to get you high. And secondly, it has to be the kind of wine that can get you high. No matter how much grape juice you're going to drink, you're not going to become drunk. And therefore, two things are derived from this halacha of v'shechar. Eno asur ala kidei l'shaker. There has to be enough to get you high. V'kama kidei l'shaker. That's a revius yayin. And furthermore, it has to be yayin ben arboim yom. It has to be at least gone through 40 days of fermentation. And therefore, if it would be yayin migito, it's not included even if you drank more than a revius. In kein ma tamud lomar yayin. Why then did the Torah mention the word yayin at all? Just talk about shekhar, anything that's mishaker. Lomar lecha, shemuzarina lav kol shehu, umuzarina lav migito. To tell you that even though there's no chiyav of misa v'lo yamusu, but the Torah doesn't want you going in, even though it was not a shear, and even though it was not yet fermented enough to be oser. Rabbi Yehuda says no. The way to understand the pasuk is like this. Yayin. Emi ela yayin. You might think it's only wine that the Torah offered. Shar v'shakri minayin. But how about other types of liquid that also have some type of psychotropic effect? Would they be asur? Tamud lomar v'shechar. Therefore, the Torah says, even a kohen who's on LSD cannot come into the Beit HaMikdash.
Not liquid. Not just liquid.
Well, the acid's a liquid. Imkain, by definition. Imkain, matam v'gomar yayin. Why then does it say wine? To distinguish between the chiyav misa, this I agree, that ala yayin, the misa, the al shar mashkin, and any other type of liquid, it's an iser azhara. Comes along now, this is the part that we were waiting for, because we wanted to understand Rabbi Eliezer in our Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, yayin al teish. The way to understand the posik is, don't drink the wine. And then, when it comes to the shechar, v'shechar al tishteh kederek shikruto. Don't drink it the way one would drink wine when one is interested in forgetting about the themes of existence. And when you do that, you take it straight, buddy. You don't stop in the middle. It's like the old pictures of the guy at the bar when he says, fill it up. What, he's going to sit there and drink like a woman? He takes it and he goes,
give me a double.
Right? And the whole thing goes down. It goes down in one shot. So that's what the Torah is referring to. It's the shekhar al-teish. Don't drink it the way you want to drink it when you're trying to forget about life. And therefore, you're not going to put it on the rocks either. It's not going to be a tipas mayim in it. You drink it straight. Ha'im yipsik bo, natana toko mayim kochu patur. Okay, so we have three different sheets. But my pleading. Tanakama, the Tanakama says, look, shekhar over here has to be understood as it is in the context of Nazir. In the context of Nazir, it's only in terms of the Gefen. The Torah makes that very clear. All the perot are Gefen, or the Shechar that comes from the Gefen. Therefore, you can't extend it the way Rav Yehuda does into saying even acid. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda, he doesn't want Shekasha HaMinazir. He takes it out of that context, but it just means here in the context of Shichrut. Rabbi Elazar Savar, my Shekhar Midu Mishaker. It has to be something, a mode which causes Shichrut. Keman Ozlah HaTanya, and who is the following Brisa going according to? Achal Develaki Elite. This addresses your solidity of acid. Somebody who eats a dveilah from ki'ila, and those dveilah, these are the way that the elephants get high, by the way. Seriously, there's a lot of animals that get drunk, and they try to get drunk.
They enjoy it.
And the way that they get drunk is they eat fruit that have fermented. So basically, a Dvela Kilis is a large congregation. I mean, a large congregation of elephants goes to these spots so they can look it up. And the social lure of elephants is absolutely astonishing. Absolutely astonishing. And it's social lure. It's not, in other words, if the elephant is not taught, he doesn't know. It's amazing. They have to teach. They have to teach the females how to nurse. It's a very advanced life form.
They have to teach them how to eat. You know.
They have to teach them how to eat also.
And Mika has a very, very good tape on elephants.
But I mean, it's just astounding. They have a whole body of encyclopedic knowledge. They know where various plants are that cure different diseases. They know where plants are that can be used to stimulate hormones for an elephant who isn't getting pregnant, which was used to create various drugs. I mean, it's absolutely amazing.
They also have a very strong thing for bones of other elephants. It's like almost a spiritual, you know, they look at
the famous elephant graveyard.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the missing word. Over
therefore, if he ate one of those Dvelik Elites, which is full of fermented fruit juice, or Shata Dvash or Chalav, or he just drinks Dvash or Chalav, which is so sugary that it basically gets you a little high, right? You feel that when you drink a lot of milk. Vinichmas l'migdash v'shimesh. If he would go into Beit HaMikdash and he would be Mishamish, this word Vishimesh is true according to Tosfot. Because according to Tosfot, you're only Chayav if you do the Avodah. Because B'Knisa alone, you're not Chayav. But it was clear that Tosfos himself did not have the gears of Vishimesh. Because he's bothered by it, he says, of course, it means that he did Avodah. The word Vishimesh therefore crept into the Girsa, because otherwise it would be problematic for the Rambam, which you don't need Shimush, and that there's an actual, it's a Knisa, the Shikrut. Loke. So who's that going according to? It says you get Malkus, meaning that there's an Azhara. That's going, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. Omer Rabbi Yehuda Barach Hutai, Halacha Karabi Elazar, you should know that the Halacha is like Rabbi Elazar, that it's only if you drink it, Kiderach Shikruto. And I want you to know that Kori Rabba later Rabbi Lazar to Vina de Papini. Rab used to refer to Rabbi Lazar as the creme de la creme of the Chachamim. Rav Acha the Hutzal. Now, what happened once is that Rav Acha from Hutzal had gotten into a fight with his wife, and his wife, he ossered Bahana on him. So not Rabba the Bitu. He comes to Rav Ashi to be Matir the Neder. And Rav Ashi says to him, Zila'ina, go away today, because basically I'm too high to be Mora. V'tama machar, and come tomorrow, because Rav lo muki amore alam yima tabla kavim shum shikrut. Rav had a good yantav meal. He wouldn't allow the Amora to speak for him in a drusha until the next time, 24 hours later, on the next day. And therefore, you better come back tomorrow. So he asked him, Rav Acha asked him, but Omar Leif Omar Rav Alokha Karabi Elazar. But I thought Rav said that Alokha is like Rav Elazar, which means that if there's any water mixed in it, that's not a problem. And remember that the halakha of not to be more a halakha is derived from the same pasuk as Kli Salam Migdash. Because in that pasuk it says, lahavdil ulahorot. So the Kohanim should not come into the Beit HaMikdash and lahavdil bein hatameh bein hatohor and lahorot ibnei Israel. And we derive that to mean any hora'ah. A person who's doing dinim should not be in a position of not having his mind fully normal. But since Rav Paskim like Rabbi Elazar, and Marhu, I know the way you drink, sir, I've watched you drink, and you always drink by having it on the ice. So it shouldn't really be a problem for you to be Matir my nether, right? Because Baka Rami Be Maya. Or Marley, so he says, no, that's not a problem. Because that was only when you drink Revias. Did you see how much I had? If you drink more than Revias, it doesn't matter if you put water in it. Then that halacha doesn't apply. Hab Revi'it, Habiyotem Nifte Revi'it. Tan Rabban. The whole issue here is based on this b'raisa. This means that if a person is being asked questions about kodesh and chol, in other words, domim, erech and charom and megdeshos, somebody's asking what's the halacha if he was magdish something, and you're supposed to pass him the kodesh and chol. You can't do that if you had something to drink. Ben atameh ben atahor. That's dinim of tumah v'taira. Lahorot. Laurot is hora'ah, yisr v'heter. By the way, there's some differences in Rishonim as to how to learn the hora'ah and the tamei v'tahor over here. You know, some say tamei v'tahor is like a be'achila of minim tamei v'tahorim. Hora'ah is not in the, is about yisr v'heter of those things. Okay, but in any event, this is fine. And kol ha'chukim is even how to be dorish to tzurkin because you can come out with nogela halacha issues. Acher diber Hashem zu halacha, so even a halacha that you were mekabel, b'yad Moshe, that refers to the Talmud of it, even though the Lashon, the normally Talmud is thinking about things, not coming up with conclusions, unfortunately. So you might think that would be okay. V'yokol afa Mishnah, tamdam al-horot. We know that you're not allowed to be more mitoch the Mishnah, because what you know is a Mishnah, then you don't know anything, because the Mishnah is specifically designed to mislead you. And it's giving you only certain categories that now you're forced to study and work out in order to maintain the Torah Shabbat Peh. Talmid Shorah Mitok Mishnah Torah Mizmach Rivet
HaOlam. So you could give a Mishnah.
So Mishnah, you could say over Mishnayot, not say a Mishnayot Shiur, which then already you might be getting into Talmud. So Talmud Lamar Lahorot, anything which could even come Lidei Hora'ah. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudah says, no. Yokol Af Talmud, you might think even Talmud is also Talmud Lahorot. That should be your intent to be Moreh, not something that may come out Lahorah. So it can come out also Hadatanya. Yotza Sheretz Tameh Utzvardeya Tahor Shishasu Yayin Morim Behem Hora'ah. How about the Brice that says, the question of whether a Sheretz, meaning one of the Shmona Shratzim is Tameh, and whether a frog is Tahor, it's not one of the Shmona Shratzim, that a Shatui Yayin can be Morah, that seems to be saying that that's okay, that's going according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, who is saying that even Talmud, not the Rabbana, no, I feel the Rabbana, I shine out of the zeal, Kari Be Rabbu, I mean, for heaven's sake, sir. Over there you can call a child out of a kindergarten and ask him the same question. I mean, which kindergarten, which nursery kid doesn't know that halacha? I mean, that we're not talking about Lahorot. It's not called Lahorot. But, wait a minute. You said Rav wouldn't even give a class. Rav lo mukim amore miyuma tuva l'chavim shum shichrus. Now, I mean, when Rav was giving his drasha over there, there's no Hora'ah in that. So why wouldn't he? That's Gemara. You're claiming that Gemara is okay. Well, he's giving you, you know, thoughts. Maybe we should learn like the Ripke Vager. And that, I mean, what does that have to do with Hora'ah? So why would he refuse to give? Why would he refuse to give his Shir Kloli? Well, that's different. Shiny Rav to Ori Mur. Rav always gets into a position of, I mean, when Rav says something, you know, it automatically is said in a way that's Hora'ah. So then why don't we tell the Nakum to Lolori? Why do we have to cancel the class? Why don't we tell, I mean, after all, we have an intelligent agent over here in our loudspeaker system, since we're using a human to determine what's going to be said over. Tell the Amora, don't say over anything that could be construed as halakha lemaaseh. And then he could still give his class. We could have the benefit of Rob's drunken class, which would be even more fun than the usual class. No. Call ahead and Yosef Rav lo sagi lo goro hora. There's no way that Rav is going to be sitting in a Beit Midrash and is not going to be surrounded by people and newspapers and flashes and so on, and they're going to stick a mic in his face and they're going to say, so what do you say about? And he's going to say something, and then it's going to be without the Morora, it's going to be the journalist, who's even worse than a non-intelligent translator. And then for sure we're going to have a problem, and therefore we can't allow him.
So, you want the place to come from Myers?